Hi, this is Jessica Marpey, and I'm your moderator for this evening's town hall. I'm here with State Senator Art Haywood, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Haywood or any of his guests throughout the call, press *3 at any time on your phone's keypad. That is *3 to submit a comment or question to the senator and his guest. Now let's welcome Senator Art Haywood.
Thank you, Jessica, and thanks to all the neighbors who are participating on tonight's call. I'm Senator Art Haywood and holding this live telephone town hall where we will be discussing the superintendent vacancy in the Philadelphia School District. I want to hear from you on what is important as this nationwide search is conducted. Joining me this evening is Sandra Dungy Glenn, Education Chair and member of the Executive Committee from the Philadelphia Community Stakeholders. Also joining me are Dr. Cassandra Jones and Ann Cooley. Tonight, we will discuss the future vision for the Philadelphia School District so our children receive the quality of education that they deserve. Now, this format will allow you to listen in and offer comments and recommendations from the comfort of your home. If you'd like to comment on several questions that I will ask, press *3 on your phone. Normally, you are a great audience and guest and you listen in and ask questions. Tonight, you are the expert and we want to hear from you. So when I'll be asking questions and seeking your comment, your point of view. That's what we're doing tonight in contrast to other town halls. Now, let's welcome my guests from the Philadelphia Community Stakeholders, Education Chair, Sandra Dungy Glenn.
Thank you, Senator Haywood, and good evening to you and good evening to all your constituents. I'm going to first start by thanking you for hosting this town hall and for partnering with us. The Philadelphia Community Stakeholders, or PCS, is a group of African-American elected officials, community, and business leaders from across the city. And the purpose and work of the group is to advocate for and to bring solutions to issues that affect the African-American community. For example, PCS helped Dr. Ayla Stanford and the Black Doctors Consortium bring COVID tests and vaccines to our neighborhoods. We helped community groups working to combat gun violence get more funding for their programs, and we're working with Black counselors and mental health professionals bring more services to families. Some of you may remember participating in a teletown hall with us in the summer of 2020 when schools were closed due to COVID-19. PCS met with over 4,300 families in 4 telephone town halls. We heard your needs, and we sponsored a community learning pod and parent resource center at Bible Way Baptist Church that gave over 50 students a safe place for virtual learning, tutoring, and behavioral health support in addition to services for their parents. We are working very hard to do more than just talk about our problems. We are working to be part of bringing the solution. And that's what brings us here tonight. As you know, Superintendent Height announced that he's leaving at the end of this school year in June. His departure raises 2 important questions. 1, what type of person do we need as the next superintendent? And 2, just as important, if not more important, is what do we need in a public education system to prepare our children academically, socially, emotionally, mentally, and physically to be productive and successful in a 21st century society? The 2 questions go together because there's an old saying, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. So we need to decide what we want from a public school system in order to decide what type of man or woman we need to lead it. And I'm speaking from experience because I served for 9 years on our school board, then on the School Reform Commission, and I also served as CEO of Harambe Charter School for 3 years. I know how important it is to have a clear plan for what you want to do, to align your budget, no matter how big or small, with that plan, and then to have the right people in the right positions to implement the plan. So tonight, we want to hear your thoughts on the 2 things. What do we need from a school system? And also, what do we need in the next superintendent? And I think it's important for all of us to remember that this job is bigger than any one person. There are over 200,000 students in district, charter, and alternative schools. 52% are Black, and 86% are children of color. There are over 200 buildings that need to be repaired or replaced. We need to recruit and support culturally competent, committed educators to fill our current positions and also to plan for the future. And right now, we have two-thirds of our elementary and middle grade students who are performing below grade level in reading. Math and the reading proficiency is in the single digits in many of our neighborhood high schools. And I suspect that if we got down to the root of the deadly violence we see in many of our neighborhoods, we find many young adults who are graduating high school ill-prepared for the jobs or for college, and who are also dealing with untreated trauma, mental, and behavioral health issues. So the challenges are big. The superintendent is the day-to-day leader responsible for putting together a team of experts in academics and finance and facilities and other areas, and then managing that team to get results. But there are other important players who need to be part of this. The state legislature and city council who provide the funding. The mayor plays a big role for three reasons. One, our schools rely on the city for many important services. For example, crossing guards are city employees. Schools depend on police districts to coordinate our safe corridors and traffic control. The city pays for many, if not most, after-school and summer programs. Second, as the leader of the city, the mayor, whoever he or she is, should be using the bully pulpit to bring together the universities, the foundations, the businesses, bring them all to the table with their checkbooks and other resources to support our schools. And third, the mayor appoints the 9-member school board. And it's the board who has the ultimate responsibility for setting the plan and setting the budget for the district, as well as hiring and evaluating the superintendent. So we're going to be sharing what we hear from you with all of them. Again, this is bigger than hiring a superintendent. It's about planning the future of our entire public school system. We all have to do a better job of ensuring our children are getting the quality of education they need to be the future leaders in Philadelphia and beyond. And so with that, Senator, again, thank you for hosting us tonight, and I turn it back to you.
Thank you so much for that insight. And I'm going to start off with a few questions, and I ask those who are listening in and those who are going to call in, please have a response or comment to the questions that I'm raising. But before I do the first question, happy Thanksgiving to everyone. I hope that you have some enjoyable time with friends and family in the days to come. Let's go with the first one. What improvements would you like to see in our public education system here in Philadelphia? What improvements would you like to see in our public education here in Philadelphia? Sandra Dungey-Glean has pretty much described that public system. 200 buildings, 200,000 children. Some in neighborhood schools, some in charter schools, some in magnet schools. Most
Senator, we do have a caller. We do have a caller, Majida.
Thank you so much.
Yep. Majida, you are live with the Senator.
Okay. How are you, Senator?
Doing well, doing well. What would you
it's
like
Majida
to
from Knightstown CDC. I would like to see more civic education integrated into the curriculum, you know, from elementary to high school, but especially emphasized in the high schools. Most of our youth don't even know what really goes on in the community. And high school students have to do community service and things of that nature. I think they should, you know, have more civic education and, you know, incorporated into the curriculum.
Yeah, thanks so much for sharing that comment. And I got to say, even though I don't think I'm supposed to be giving comments, I do agree. And I'm so glad you raised that. And I also want to thank you for everything you're doing at Knightstown. to help bring that neighborhood to a stronger position. And so much positive work has been done by your organization. I just want to thank you when I have the chance to do so on this call.
Appreciate you.
All right, hang in there.
Great. And while we wait for some more callers to get on the line, I do want to remind everyone that if you would like to submit a comment to the discussion tonight, press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 to answer what improvements would you like to see in our public education system in Philadelphia. And in addition to the discussion tonight, we will be asking some poll questions that you can answer with your keypad. So we will ask our first poll question of the night. It will be 1 to answer yes and 2 to answer no. The question is, are you happy with our public education system in Philadelphia? Press 1 for yes and 2 for no. Are you happy with our public education system in Philadelphia? And we do have another caller, Azalea from West Philly. You are live.
Hi, everyone. I'm actually not from West Philly. I said just Philly. I'm actually from the Broughton Alney area, and I just wanted to suggest that our next superintendent be from the inner city and not someone that lives out in the suburbs and is just coming into work every day. I think that it should be someone that actually lives the life of our youth that are in the system.
Great comment. Thanks so much. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you so much. I do want to raise another question for callers as they're thinking about the first question. I repeat, the first question is, what improvements would you like to see in our public education system here in Philadelphia? But there's a second question. Please share 2 things that you feel are going well in our public school system. Please share 2 things that you feel are going well in our public school system. We'd be glad to get your comments on either one of the 2. What improvements would you like to make, and what are 2 things that are going well?
And we do have another caller. Senator, if you're ready for the next one.
Yes, we are.
Great. We have James. James, you are live.
Yes, Senator. I was wondering why they took all the alternative programs out, like carpentry, auto mechanics, music, out of the system, and just made it about academics. There's no life skills there. We had life skills when I went to school. Half these kids don't even know how to fill out job applications correctly. There's no life skills in there. Things that can help them once they graduate to be out in the outside world.
Understood. So, James, please tell me, what would you like to see?
The auto mechanics, the electrical shops, the carpentry classes, the music programs back in the school system, and some of these life skills they can acquire through college and stuff like that. To keep on if they have an interest in them, because you got a lot of musicians out there that don't know they're musicians, or a lot of good people that's technically smart. It's not everything about computers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks so much, James. No, we got your comment and very much appreciate it. Thank you so much. We'll get it to the leadership that needs to hear it. What else? We got some other responses lined up, Jessica?
Yep, we have Michelle. Michelle, you are live.
Thank you so much. Senator, thank you so much for doing this. And I wanted to answer the first question you asked in terms of what improvement you want to see in the school system. And basically what I think is we need to prepare the children in the earlier years and prepare them properly so that they could compete and, you know, be competitive in the schools like the Mastermans, the Centrals, the Engineering and Science, the Carvers, et cetera. So I think we need to prepare the younger children so that they could go into these other schools, and then also create more of these types of schools so that you don't have many parents vying for these schools and a lot are being turned away.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah, thanks so much. And these the magnet system is very challenging in terms of preparation to get in, competition to get in, and you're highlighting a critical concern. No, thanks so much for sharing. Thanks so much for sharing.
Great. Next, we have Nicole. Nicole, you are live.
Oh, thank you. Good evening, and thank you, Senator.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Just to answer the first question, I definitely agree with the last caller that we definitely need to prepare our young scholars. We need to start at the elementary level. And I'm thinking in terms of, one, just the type of curriculum that we present to them and making sure that it is infused with our culture, and also just making sure that there's a lot more taught at the elementary level. For instance, foreign languages, just to prepare them, you know, for once they enter middle school and high school, and also for our middle school and high school students, just in addition to, you know, what they're learning, the basics, but also learning how to manage money, creating and starting their own businesses, things of that nature, and putting them on that track. And I know college is extremely important, but we also want them to be self-sufficient and learn how to start businesses of their own and think on that mindset as opposed to working for someone else and building someone else's dream. I also believe that our educators need to be retrained in cultural competency, and it would be great to see educators that look like us teaching our scholars as well. But definitely just making sure that the educators are culturally competent. In addition to that, just updating the school buildings and making sure that our young scholars have all the resources that they need to succeed, just as they do in other districts such as Abington. So we definitely need to give them a bigger head start and not have them play catch up to the other districts. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Wow, all fantastic points. And higher education offers a lot more than it has in the past. They have four-year degrees, they have 2 years, they have one-year certificate programs. So higher education, they have six-month certificate programs. So higher education is offering far more than just a four-year degree. And certainly our young people need to have an opportunity to get in all these fields. I hope that can be added as a comment, even though I'm not one of the callers in. Who do we have next?
Next, we have Dr. Elena Evans from Mount Airy. Dr. Evans, you're live.
Yes. Good evening, Senator. Good evening, everyone that is on this call. What I am seeking.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. What I'm looking forward to change as far as the school district is more transparency with communication, not just with their office, but with the mayor's office, and placing the stakeholders as well as the parents and students at the table, as well as the educators, to understand how to access the information and know how to help one another, because it takes a village to raise a child. Secondly, it's very important that there was another point. Our students not be tested day in and day out. Our children are being tested from grade three, kindergarten, all the way up to senior year. I understand that data is very important so that instruction can be different areas of strength and weaknesses are needed to identify what we need to do to help our students access their learning and their potential. However, to test them continuously without giving them the instruction or teaching them how to think does not help them at all, especially when they leave high school and go into the real world, or even to college, because a lot of colleges are complaining that our children do not know how to write. Our children do not know how to synthesize information or read books that will help them understand how to write a clear argument and so forth. So it's very important that we decrease testing and also increase transparency when it comes to communication. Thank you.
Thank you. No, great points. Thank you so much. I do want to add our third question. So we're going to have three questions, and folks can answer any one of these three or all three. The first question has been, what improvements would you like to see in our public education in Philadelphia? Second question has, share two things you feel are going well with our public school system. And third, what are two things you'd like to see in our next superintendent? Two things you would like to see in our next superintendent. Those are all of our questions, and feel free to answer any one, two, or three of them. How are we doing on callers?
We have a few in the queue, so we're going to go with Elizabeth and Mount Airy. Elizabeth, you are live.
Hello. Again, my name is Elizabeth. Thank you, Senator, for this platform to be able to discuss this matter. As a mental health professional in the city, my concern and or wish for the school district is that we add more mental health professionals in the actual school district. Although we have school counselors, majority of the school counselors more or less focuses more on academics in reference to helping them to be able to meet certain quotas, you know, preparing for college and things of that sort. But as a mental health professional in seeing a lot of these children on an outpatient basis, there's a lot of times to where if a crisis arises, they automatically send them to the outpatient because they don't really know or doesn't have the skill base in order to be able to work with them effectively in the school. So I think it will benefit to be able to have more actual mental health professionals working in the district. Secondly, in regards to what I would like to see in a superintendent, I would like to see someone that is culturally competent within multicultural diversity, someone who can be able to relate to our children. I think another caller made a statement in regards to being from the city, having the opportunity of growing up in the city and then living in the suburbs and then coming back to the city. I got a chance to be able to see the different dynamics within how the school districts work. And I would just like to see someone who will bring it to the point of equality to where if you live right across the street from Montgomery County School District, that they can have equal education and equal opportunity. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much. And we want to make sure we have excellence for our young people. I know we have some poll questions. How many poll questions have we asked so far, Jessica?
We've asked one poll question, so we can move to our second one. Again, this is a poll question that you can answer with your keypad. It's one for yes and two for no. Our second question is, do you have confidence in our current school board to lead our public school system? That's one for yes and two for no. Do you have confidence in our current school board to lead our public school system?
Thanks so much. And Sandra, how are we doing?
Senator, I'm sorry, I was on mute. We're getting some excellent comments and suggestions from your constituents, and this is exactly what we need. We're going to be putting all of this in a report with recommendations that we've been hearing from the town halls, and like I say, getting it to the school board and mayor and others as they make this important decision. But I think what's also important for us with PCS and others is to keep the pressure on even after the next school leader is selected, because many of the comments we hear are really about the decisions that the school board and that school leader will be making about how they run the district. So This is very, very helpful. Thank you.
Thanks so much. My colleague, Senator Street, Senator Hughes, and Senator Williams are also doing, have done similar town halls to hear from residents. And of course, we want to make sure our event is as good and certainly and hopefully better than my colleagues and friends. Let's go back to the callers.
Okay, great. We have Azalea. Azalea, you're live?
Yes, I'm here. Are you able to hear me?
Yep.
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
I can't remember if I had to do anything else. Good evening again, everyone. Good evening, Senator. I think I was answering the question ahead of time about what we wanted to see in our future superintendent. But as of the present, I have a four-year-old who will be five by September and entering the school system. I would really like to see a better transition from the pre-K system into kindergarten. There's outside programs not directly affiliated with the school district that help parents with their transition, but being the first time I'm entering the school district, it's a little intimidating. And the whole thing with, like, the schools being so separated, the admission process, I think that could be better handled. Maybe some, like, roundtable groups or meetings like this for first-time parents entering the school system would be helpful. One of the things that are good is that I've met teachers who still genuinely care about the kids and have an interest in making our school system better. I think that we need more staff and we need higher wages for staff, especially the experienced staff, to keep them. Something that I think is really important that we should bring back into the school system are the extracurricular activities. I remember having shop at home ec in the public school system. My daughter currently attends the Germantown Settlement School, and they have music, they have dance, as well as art. And I think all of those things are important into growing up well-rounded students.
Yeah, no, thanks so much. And several folks have called in with the same or similar message, that is, we've got to focus on educating the whole child. And the whole child includes the mind, it includes the spirit, it includes the body. And yeah, I thank you so much. Who's our next caller?
Next we have Vanessa. Vanessa, you are live.
How are you? And all other phone callers, how are you all?
Good. Thank
you. My question and comment is based on what do I see is better for a superintendent to be in charge of our children. Number one, I see already the superintendent's job is a massive job. And in Philadelphia, we have one of the largest school systems in the country. When you have such a massive undertaking of children and families and communities together, wouldn't it make more sense to create a superintendent tripod? Maybe three superintendents all working together to make the school system better for Philadelphia and for the state of Pennsylvania. Because you're correct. All of these children are going into society. And a lot of the problems we see right now today, they're not getting a full scope of what's going on in life and in their community. They're not taken for as important entities in a community as a person. And when you have people who put their whole into learning only to be turned away because nobody thinks you have all that you need to be an integral part in the education system, I feel a tripod of superintendents working together for one cause would be more helpful to all of us as citizens. And also, we need to stop hiring people to work in our school systems who are not even citizens of our city. I think that is a horrible thing to do to each and every child and each and every family. It looks real crazy. The superintendent's child is learning all these wonderful things, as a caller said before, music, art, and special curriculum activities. But our children have none of that. And how can you say you're a superintendent working for the betterment of your school system and you're not even a part of the community? So I would like to see, if we're going to get somebody, let's get somebody who is within the city limits, and also see about taking that one job of superintendent and creating maybe a tripod of superintendents. Maybe three people working at the same job and working and as a unit may be more conducive for our education system here in Philadelphia.
Thank you so much. Yeah, fantastic comments. Thank you so much. And I think that's the first time we've heard about a different way to organize the job. Instead of it being one job, make it three jobs. And that's real innovation. Haven't heard that, and something to be seriously taken into account because, as Vanessa said, it can be an overwhelming job, and maybe a way to break it into parts could make it more effective. Something to consider. What's our next poll question, by the way?
Our third poll question is, should Philadelphia have an elected school board? To answer yes, press 1. To answer 2, or to answer no, press 2. Should Philadelphia have an elected school board? 1 for yes, 2 for no.
And just to clarify for everyone on this poll question, currently we have an appointed school board, not an elected school board. Appointed by the mayor of Philadelphia based upon recommendations from a committee, but it's an appointed group currently, not an elected group. All right, what are our neighbors thinking?
Great, we're gonna go to Veronica next. And just a reminder to our callers on the line, if you would like to participate in tonight's discussion, press *3 to submit a comment, that's *3. And now we'll go to Veronica from Mount Erie.
Thank you. How are you, Senator Haywood and the community at large? I just wanted to be quickly about addressing what I find is working well as teachers. They're doing a great, phenomenal job. My experience is that they are making sure the students are getting the work done, especially my granddaughter. She's listening. And the parents and teacher conferences are so important. You hear one thing what the child is telling you, but you get to hear both sides, what they're doing in their testing and their assignments, which is so important. And I think that's a good job that we should encourage that. So I also think that we can improve on that second point on counselors. I am a class of 72 at Dobbins, and we had counselors where we can do career goals, and they act also multitask. You know, they can keep you in that social social issues, as well as if you wanted to be a lawyer or you wanted to be a doctor, they can help you choose that so you can make a very good, successful decision when you leave school. And then also, I would love to bring back cursive. I was surprised trying to employ youth, and they did not know how to sign their name. They kept printing it. So it's very important because you have to sign your name for voting, correct, Senator? You have to use it also for so many things. So cursive is not being taught as it should be, and I just think that would be a plus if that could be, you know, one of the things they can consider. And I think that's all I got, and I thank you for the opportunity and have a nice Thanksgiving, community at large.
Thank you so much, Veronica. You say your class of 72 at Dobbins. If Veronica, if you know Dwight Pedro Lewis, Class of 74, Dobbins, call my office. If you know Dwight Pedro Lewis, call my office, 215-242-8171, class of 74, Dobbins. Thanks so much, Veronica. What else is happening from our neighbors? We're getting some tremendous comments. I know better than my colleagues, and glad that we could get these comments because, as Sandra Dungey Glenn has already said, these comments will all be put together and we'll get them over to school leaders and community leaders to help us, A, get a stronger superintendent, and B, create a stronger public school system. Who's next?
We're actually going to go to our fourth digital poll question next. Our fourth question is, do you believe mental and behavioral health services should be in every school? That's one for yes, two for no. Do you believe mental and behavioral health services should be in every school? And then on the phone line, we have Iran from Albany.
From Albany, go ahead.
Yes, hello. Good evening, Senator, and all of those who are on the call. I am not originally from Philadelphia, but I'm going on 7 years here. No sooner I touched ground here in Philadelphia, I started out as a substitute teacher, and then I went into RHD as behavior specialist and did some TSS work. And what I noticed when I would go to a lot of different schools from West Philly, North, South, I would see a lot of black male boys packed in an emotional support classroom. And you go in and all they want you to do is just monitor this child, keep some notes. But my worry was the pipeline to prison for our black male boys. How can we do something different other than putting them in detention, making them stay after school? Is there an alternative way that we can take what they're strong at and teach them to be leaders, teach them to influence and impact and empower their peers? And that was one of the things that I did. It wasn't part of my job description, but it was one of those things that I would ask them, you know, hey, what is your desires? What is it that you want to do? Yes, some of them may say, I want to be a basketball, football, rapper. You know, they say these different things. But as I would, you know, go on about my day and month, week after week, day after day, week after week, year after year, I would hear different responses. And a lot of these black male boys have a lot of mental issues because one or two things, their parents are either in prison or they're just not present in their lives. You know, what can we do to incorporate programs for black male boys? I know that there are a ton of programs for, you know, girls to be a part of. I'm a part of those programs as well, you know, for young girls. This is junior high to high school. How can we, you know, do something different with our black male boys in the public high school, you know, just going forth?
So thank you so much. If you're still on the line, you've asked some questions about what could happen, but would you tell us, please, what you would like to see happen? What would you like to see?
What I would like to see happen relationships with more male men. It doesn't have to just be a color, but just men coming together and embracing our young men in general across the board. You know, having programs for them to understand, you know, what things look like. You know, they don't understand a lot of things, you know. So I would sit in the classroom all day, and all you would hear is, I got to get home because I got to take care of my brother and my sister. A lot of these young men that I know personally that lived around my way, they're standing outside of Aldi, asking people to take their groceries to the car because there's no money, you know, in the home. You know, it's just a lot of different things that they're going through. So if they could have, like, that safe haven, that safe place to where that they, you know, can go and talk to a stand-up male in the community, because to be honest, you know, who are our leaders in the community, you know, when it comes to male boys across the board, you know, who can they run to, you know, to share what's on their hearts and in their minds? So, they you know, they're looking at other alternatives, which is gun violence has gone up. You know, we have 15, 16-year-old boys that are having children. They have no idea what fatherhood looks like, you know, so that we can just incorporate programs, you know, for them to understand what that looks like when you decide, you know, that you want to get a young girl pregnant and have a baby, you know, and teach them about, you know, checking accounts, teaching them a trade. You know, it's a lot of different things that we can do. We just have to have those programs in place.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I just wanted to pull that out of you. I think what you said is dramatically correct. And one amongst other approaches is having some more mentoring opportunities for men and these young boys. So thank you so much. And hope things are successful for you over at Resources for Human Development. It's been a strong organization in Philadelphia with some good leadership. And thank you so much for being on this call and for your engagement in the community. Who's next on our line?
Next we have Joe from Mount Airy. Joe, you're live.
Hi, thank you so much, and thank you everybody on this call for having this discussion. My comment is very similar to the one that was just made, which is that although we always have to have good academics, it's equally important to have other possible alternatives for students who just are not academically inclined. And this is certainly not unique to Philly. There are students like this everywhere in the country and the world. They just, academics is not their biggest strength, but that's not a reason to either punish them or put them in the corner or ignore them. You have to find a way to engage them. You have to find something that appeals to them. One of the hidden successes, I believe, in this country is community colleges for students who don't want to go to a four-year college but do want to learn the useful skill that can be very challenging and that they can really enjoy. So I would like to see more programming in the Philadelphia School District for students who wanted to do something that's not purely academic. And it gives them a sense that they have some choices. Thank you very much for listening to the comment.
Yeah, thanks so much, Joe, for those comments. Jessica, it looks like in online we have two questions submitted by Arlene Edmonds. Is there a way we could turn those questions around in the comments?
Let's see. She's asking if it's possible to bring back regional superintendents, which sounds similar to the tripod suggestion from earlier. And she noted that there used to be a separate office at the old Leeds that served Northwest Philly. And there were ones in other areas, too. So specifically, she's suggesting regional superintendents.
Got it.
And then her other question is, will they bring back special schools for students with specific needs?
Special, yeah, we might need a little bit more detail on that, but that's good comments. Okay, well, I'm glad we were able to appreciate those who submitted questions online, as well as those who are calling in. And let's go back to the callers.
Great. Before we go back to our phone line, we do have one final poll question for your keypads. Our fifth question for tonight is, do you feel your child is safe at school? Press 1 for yes, 2 for no. Do you feel your child is safe at school? And then we'll go to Betty on the phone lines. Betty, you are live.
Yes. One of the things that I really feel we need in our school district is we need trauma treatment for our children, like those boys that you find in the classroom that is being punished for everything, you know, from spitting to walking on the wrong side of the hallway. I feel like this city knows that we are, as African Americans especially, we're suffering from generational trauma, and I just don't understand why it's not being addressed on another level, on every level. And I think that we would end up with much better children. Our children would be, they would be happier. They would be able to learn, but they can't learn because their trauma's in their way.
Yeah, no, thanks for that comment. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Really, really appreciate it, and that's insightful. And the trauma is there. Trauma is present. I do want to make sure everyone who's remaining on the line is aware of our three questions, of which you can respond to any one of the three, or all three, or two out of three. Our first question is, what improvements would you like to see in our public education system in Philadelphia? Our second question is, share two things you feel are going well in our public school system. And our third question is, share two things you would like to see in our next superintendent.
Great, and a reminder that if you would like to answer or comment on any of those questions, you can press *3 on your keypad to join our discussion tonight. That's *3. And we do have a caller on the line. We have Mary from Germantown.
Hi,
Mary.
Hi, this is Mary. Thank you so much for having us. This is to the first question. As far as our elementary school teachers, it would be helpful if they had more assistance in their classrooms because their classrooms are large and the kids need more help, especially with reading, you know, and things like that. And the second thing is, like, the law that they have, like, No Child Left Behind, they are patching our kids, you know, from one grade to the other without even close to reading on their grade level. And that makes it a problem when they get into next grade, and that, you know, that is harder for them to catch up. And another thing, too, is, like, some of the kids come in where they don't get that help and support at home. Is there some kind of program that they can have that is mandatory that they go to, like, after school or even during the school hours or whatever, where they can get that extra help?
Yeah, no, thanks so much. And many of our young people do need some extra help and programs that can be available after school as well as in the summer. You may not or may not know, my office has had summer reading camps to help our young people read at proficiency by fourth grade. But there's so much that we need to do for our young people. I do want to allow Sandra to raise any kind of additional comments while it looks like we're waiting for some callers to join us. What do you think so far about the comments that we have received?
So, Senator, I can't pick favorites, but I have to say that tonight's callers have had some of the most, I think, thoughtful, practical, and in some ways and insightful, but yet outside the box comments and suggestions that I've heard in any of the sessions. And so I want to thank each and every one of them for their participation and for their input. One of the things that there's a theme that's going through this that I'm hearing, and that is that we need to have many more qualified, competent, culturally centered individuals, some of them professional, but they could even be community members who are in our schools. Whether you're talking about mentoring programs for our boys, and I would also say our girls,
whether you're talking about counseling and behavioral health support, trauma-informed instruction so that there are people who understand how to support our children who may have been going through things at home, whether you're talking about having people in the schools who can help the families and caregivers get resources and supports. That's all about bringing more people working in our schools, but also partnerships and relationships surrounding our schools. Some of that I think you can do through volunteers, but some of that is going to be important to make sure that we do get additional funding for our schools that can be spent in the right way, because it's going to require hiring and having people who are showing up every day. If you want to have support for a teacher in a classroom, then she or he needs that assistant there every day, not just a couple of times a week. And that means you need to be able to pay them a decent salary, cover their benefits, which means we need to have more funding in our schools. And I do know that there is a lawsuit going through right now at the state level that is bringing a suit against the legislature, quite honestly, and the governor, to say that there needs to be additional spending in the schools, and Philadelphia needs to get its fair share. So I hope that that will have a good result and that we will get additional funding. But in the meantime, we have to make better choices with the money we do have. And that does relate to thinking about how we can build partnerships with organizations, with our universities, with our community folks, to bring quality, qualified people into our schools, because our children just need more support. It's going to take more hands on deck to give them the services that they need.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Looks like we've got a few more callers, but it also looks like we've got about 6 more minutes of time. So let's get as many callers as we can in and take it away, Jessica.
Great. We actually have Dr. Evans who would like to submit another comment to the discussion. Dr. Evans, you're live.
Okay. Happy holidays.
Welcome
everyone.
Back.
And hey, thank you. Thank you, Senator. I was listening to everyone talk about mental health, and from my studies, adverse childhood experiences definitely affects our children now, but it also affects their health later on down the road. And there's many traumas that they're going through on top of and compounded by the pandemic and being in isolation. So coming out of this, we do need that assistance in schools, in all schools, not just one school. Also, what's going good in our school district is that students are able to access other ways to learning. What I mean by that is they have virtual academy, even though they have a waiting list. Students who are not, and parents who fear their students coming back in person, still has that ability to do virtual academy, which was not even heard of like 18 months ago. And then last, when it comes to our superintendent, it's very important for them to know the culture of our students, be culturally relevant, but also to be able to understand the culture of Philadelphia, because Philadelphia is a very unique city. And if it's not a person that is from the city and understands that dynamic, they tend to make decisions based on what they think would be good, and it's not. And there was some other thing, but I don't want to take up the time, but those are the areas. And the one thing I want to say, Senator, if you do get a moment, I would strongly suggest that you take a look at Paul Robeson High School, because they do have a model when it comes to mental health and how they engage not only the females, but the males as well, outside of just academics. Thank you.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much. Even pointed to a model for us. Thank you so much for that comment and the direction that you've given all of us on a successful model. That's appreciated. And all the callers are appreciated. I think I'm down to the last 3 minutes. Can we take another call, Jessica, or do we need to wrap it up?
I think we're all set with our calls. A reminder on our digital poll, PCS will be releasing those results, I believe, in the coming weeks, so people can keep an eye out for that. will be consolidated. They'll be consolidating the data with others gathered. So keep an eye out for that. It looks like we have one more call, and then we could close it out if you want one more, Senator.
Sure. Let's get them all
okay,
in.
Great.
Go ahead.
Sure. Deborah, you are live.
Deborah?
Yes. Hello?
Go ahead.
Yes,
go
I just ahead. Wanted to say that it's very important that we consider educating the whole child. We must remember that the child is a product of their home, their community, and their culture, and that follows them through life. So what we do in the early years impacts everything following that. With that being said, sometimes the children, they're seeing trauma at home, and it's not being realized in the classroom with a child mm-hmm. acting out. We just think, oh, well, they're acting out, you know, send them somewhere. But really, it needs to be looked in deeper, and that it starts in early childhood. So I just wanted to make that comment.
Thank you so much. No, thanks so much. And wow, this has been a tremendous call. Let me turn it back over to Jessica.
Great. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining. I will pass it to Senator Haywood and Sandra for any closing remarks.
Well,
Senator, I just want to thank you again, Senator, for hosting this tonight with us. With the community stakeholders and all the great comments and input that we received. We will be sharing it with you, obviously, and your colleagues, and taking it to, like I said, taking it to the school board. But it's so important that one of the messages that I think we need to take back is that this kind of input and having opportunities to hear from the members of the community who know our schools, who have children and grandchildren, or teach or have worked for the district, hearing this kind of input on an ongoing basis is really important. And that there really should be an opportunity to have these kinds of sessions throughout the year, even after the new leader comes in, so he or she can hear what's going on and what's really needed. So that is definitely going to be one of the recommendations that we make. So again, thank you. Thank you to all of our participants, and a happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Thank you so much to Sandra and to everyone who participated on our telephone town hall. You know, this is the best telephone town hall participants and audience in the city and the state. And I can't thank you all enough for participating, providing suggestions that can then be implemented in improving our school system and hopefully getting us a strong superintendent who can respond to so many of the concerns that were raised tonight. Now, if you didn't have a chance to ask a question, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we'll get back to you. Thank you so much, neighbors, for your participation. If you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office at 215-242-8171. You can also visit my website at senatorhaywood.com, and have a happy and safe Thanksgiving holiday.
Thank you for participating in Senator Art Haywood's live telephone town hall. You have been a fantastic audience. Have a great night and a great holiday.